Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. Wanted to start with a video this morning, so Jeremy, if you'd make sure the computer is unmuted there. I'll show that in just a couple minutes. Talking about faith CPR. Today. I don't know how many medical people I have in here. How many medical people do I have in here? How many people trained in CPR? That's a lot bigger number, isn't it? Faith CPR. You know, when you have to give CPR, there's a process you have to go through. And they've actually updated the process, and so this is my introduction, but it's also a public service announcement. So let's watch the video.
Mr. Jones, are you okay? Are you okay?
Dr. Tyler Vedabankur and his colleague Dr. Bentley Bobro are using this mannequin to demonstrate an updated version of CPR called continuous chest compression CPR.
The goal is to generate blood flow to the heart and the brain.
When a person collapses, there's still enough oxygen in their blood to keep them alive for about 10 minutes, but only if that blood gets to the brain. Chest compressions build up the pressure that keeps blood flowing to the heart and brain. If you stop pumping the chest for any reason, the patient's blood flow stops too. Continuous chest compression CPR keeps the oxygen-rich blood flowing.
The key is to circulate that oxygen.
The way to do that is to continuously push hard and fast on the chest.
Without stopping to breathe for the patient. This makes the process easier to learn, remember, and to do. No need to count compressions or breaths, and no need for mouth-to-mouth breathing. So if you're out in public or at the office and someone collapses, dial 911.
Call 911.
Then rub their chest hard to see if they wake up. Don't waste time checking for a pulse. Start pumping.
Put one hand over the sternum, the second hand on top of it. Remember that you need to push hard. Approximately 2 inches, 100 per minute, and you want to not stop until emergency medical services or the paramedics arrive.
No need to worry about hurting the person.
This person's dead. If you do nothing, they're dead. All you can do is help them.
Remember that last phrase there. This person is dead. If you do nothing, they are dead. All you can do is help them. James is going to tell us the same thing with our faith this morning. If we do nothing with it, it's dead. If we do nothing with our faith, it is dead. James has been talking to Jewish Christians, and he's been trying to help them figure out how to live out this new faith in their lives. He was talking last week about not showing favoritism. Remember, James gave us the illustration of the poor man and the rich man who came in, and they gave the rich man the priority seating. They gave him first class. They said to the rich man, why don't you go stand in the back, or why don't you sit at our feet? And so, not showing favoritism. Now he's continuing to help us see the relationship between our faith and our actions. Let's look at our scripture this morning, starting in verse 14, James chapter 2. We're going to read through to verse 16. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? James asks a question. What good is faith without works? What good is faith without works? He says if a person has faith, but they do nothing with it, if they know about a need, maybe it's a need of food or a need of clothing, but they do nothing to fill that need, does that person have true faith? The answer is actually pretty obvious in the Greek, and I think we all know too from reading on. The answer is no. No, that person would not have faith. What is faith? What is faith? There's a song we learned at one of our VBSs we did at our church. Our God is so big, strong, and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do. And that song talks about the things that God can do, and we see God do. Hebrews 11 tells us about faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. As Christians, faith is trusting in something that we do not see. Faith is complete trust in something or someone. I have a chair up here, and I didn't test this beforehand. This is how much faith I have in this chair. I have a chair, and if I sit in the chair, I can say I have faith in the chair. Am I truly having faith in this chair? I'm not having faith in the chair. How do you know if I have faith in the chair? I have faith in the chair. Thankfully, my illustration did not go awry there. Then I would have had to talk about misplaced faith or something along those lines. But I have faith in that chair. Faith is trusting, complete trust in God, giving him your whole lives. James says the same thing multiple times today, and so we're going to talk about the same thing multiple times, but in different ways. James is talking about faith plus works is a living faith. Faith minus works is a dying faith, for people that are math people. Faith plus works equals living faith. Faith minus works is dying faith. A lot of people want to say that James is contrasting faith and works here. But that's not what he's doing. He's not saying it's faith versus works. He's contrasting a living faith with a dying faith. That's the contrast that James is making today. If a believer recognizes a need and says, okay, be warm and filled. I see you're wearing, you don't have a jacket, but be warm. I see you don't have food to eat. Be filled. He says, what good is that? What good have you done for that person? Jesus said in John chapter 13, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John would later write in 1 John, let us love one another, for love is from God, because God is love. So we're supposed to be loving each other, loving one another. But if only there was an example of God showing his love to us. What is that example? Verse 9, the next verse. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. How did God show his love for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God showed his love to us. His love was made manifest through an action. James is telling us here this morning, you need faith with some love. You need faith with some action being poured out, because God first loved us, and it's our responsibility to show love to others. See, when we say we have faith, our words are just serving us. We're just talking about ourselves. But when we have actions, those actions are serving others. When we say we have faith, it's just serving us. I don't know if you've ever watched a house being constructed. These are just some blueprints that I found online. If you've ever watched a house being constructed, there's a lot of work that has to be done. First, you have to go in and you have to make sure the land is right. And so you have to get it all graded and the holes dug for the foundation and all of that kind of stuff. And then they pour the foundation. And then upon the foundation, there's all these steps. And so they have the carpenters come in and start building. And there's electrical work and plumbing and heating and cooling and all of these steps that have to happen. What if you'd hired a contractor and to build you a house, and he called you one day and he said, "Oh, I just want you to know your house is done. You've been waiting. This is exciting." And so you go to the place where it was, and all that's there is the foundation. And you say, "But I thought you said the house was complete." "Well, it's good enough. The foundation's there. We graded. It's good enough." You probably wouldn't be very happy with him at that point. Sure, he got it done 6 months early, but you have no roof. You have no heat. You have no structure. And that's what James is telling us today. There is faith that is the foundation, but on that foundation needs to be a structure. Once we have the foundation, we can't just keep that foundation and say, "Okay, we're good." James is saying faith and works. Faith and works. The Christian walk is not just about our faith. It's more than just belief in God. The trust we have in God, the faith we have in God, is to be built upon. And that building is through the actions that we do. We need to show love towards others. Let's continue on in our passage, starting in verse 17. "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, what faith apart from works? That faith apart from works is useless." James is telling us today that faith and works belong together. Faith and works belong together. Faith is shown through our works. Some would say, "I don't, it doesn't matter what I do with my faith. I believe in God, I'm fine." How many Christians out there would you ask, if you ask them, "Well, do you believe in God?" "Oh, yeah, sure, I believe there's God." But then what do they do with that? What do they do with what they say they believe? Faith without works is dead. If we do nothing with our faith, we are dead. James makes a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is a statement that Jewish people would know very well. They said it morning and evening every day. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." They said it every day, morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. And James says, even the demons believe this about God. And what is their action? They shudder. They have great fear. Have you ever had such fear that the hair on your neck and arms just stands up? That's what James is describing here. They have such fear that they just shudder. Even the demons believe that, James says. But what good is what they believe? What is your belief in God driving you towards? What is your belief in God driving you at? Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." But wait, we're talking about faith and action here, faith and works, and James is emphasizing these works, but now Paul is saying it's not a result of works. Are Paul and James in conflict? And this is the passage most people go to and say, "Yeah, Paul and James, they just don't agree about anything, and the Bible is in conflict with one another because Paul says it's not about works, and James says you all have to be doing works." But you see, what's happening here is Paul and James are standing back to back on faith. Paul is saying it's not about works that you can do. There's nothing you can do that can save you. And James is saying, after you're saved, you need to be working. Salvation is not about works. But once you're saved, your faith has to push you to something. We all believe in gravity, right? How many of you are holding on to your seats because you don't want to fly away this morning? We all believe in gravity, right? You believe in gravity, and what do your actions cause you to do? Well, you're careful where you step, for one. I have to keep an eye on these steps because I wander around sometimes, and I don't want to trip over things or fall down, and so we're careful with things that we do. Your actions, what you believe about gravity, good. What does that do for you? You believe about God, good. What does that do to you? What does that cause you to do? Paul would later say this in Galatians, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision," he's talking about the Jews versus the non-Jews, "counts for anything, but only faith," what? "Only faith working through love." Only faith working through love. See, love is what transforms our faith into action. Love is what transforms our faith into action. I always think, well, it'd be great if James would just give us a list. I'm a list person. I like to make lists. And if James would just give us a list and say, okay, these are the works I'm talking about, just go and do those and you'll be fine. Why doesn't James give us a list? Because we would limit ourselves to that list. We'd say, okay, I've checked off my 5 things today. I'm good. But James doesn't give us a list, does he? See, good works are things that God has planned for us. And we never know what God has planned. Paul said it was not of works, lest any man should boast, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 10, what does he say? Oop, go back. There it is. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Paul and James aren't in contradiction here. He's saying we are created in Christ Jesus to do these good works, which what? God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's prepared these good works for us. Do we always obey what God commands us to do? I know I don't. Do we always obey the things when God says, there's somebody needy, you should go help them? But God, what do we say? But God, I don't have time. But God, we're running tight this week. I don't think we can afford that. But God, that doesn't really matter, does it? If God tells you to do something, he's already provided for you to do that. It just might mean you have to sacrifice on your behalf. Paul gives us the fruit of the Spirit, probably one of the closest lists we have. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think so often I think about these things and I just think, okay, these are things that need to be in me. These are internal things. Love, that's a very internal thing, I feel like. Joy, that's a very internal thing. Peace, that can be a very internal thing. And we could keep going through the list, but guess what? Love is a very external thing. Joy can be a very external thing. Peace, do you have peace with other people? Patience, it's usually not that you're upset with yourself when you're being impatient. It's usually somebody else. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are external. These are some of the good works that God is calling us to do. They involve the fruits of the Spirit. What do our actions look like towards others? Am I one who is willing to give to other people? Am I willing to sacrifice time? Am I willing to sacrifice energy? Am I willing to sacrifice money for others who might need it? We're talking about faith and works, and James wants to drive this home to his audience. He wants to drive it home, and so who does he use? Let's read on, verse 21. James says, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." James is trying to drive this point home to Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians said that Abraham was their father. Abraham was their founder. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had... The Jewish people, they all called him Father Abraham. He was their father. And so, of course, James is trying to drive this home to Jewish Christians. He's using their guy, their person. And he says his actions were a demonstration of his faith. We're not going to read it this morning, but in Genesis chapter 22... I put this on your sheets. It talks about Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was told by God to take his son, his only son, the heir to the promise that he had been given, that his family line would continue, that he would be made into a great nation. God had told him that. But now God told him, take Isaac and go and sacrifice him. And the words in Genesis 22, "And Abraham got up that next day and went." And Abraham got up that next day and he went. Would I be as faithful as Abraham? Could I trust God that much that he would provide the sacrifice to replace his son? Or did he think that he would just bring Isaac back to life? Either way, would I have the faith that I would put into action? I don't know if I would. James gives us this illustration of Abraham, and then his next illustration is a not-so-likely person. Rahab. Who was Rahab? Rahab was a prostitute. If you're making comparisons between Abraham and Rahab, Abraham, Jewish person, father of our people. Rahab, prostitute, not Jewish. Their faith is about the only comparison that you can make when it comes to these two individuals. But James says, just like Abraham had faith and was willing to sacrifice his son, so Rahab had faith and was willing to take in the spies or the messengers and keep them and risk her own life. Rahab committed treason. She committed treason against her people. She would have been killed if they had found out that she had harbored those spies. She was willing to turn her back on her old life. Which is a great illustration, because what was her old life? She was a prostitute. What is repentance? Turning away from what you've been doing, the sinful life you've lived. She was willing to put away her old life. She was willing to give up any friends that she had. She was willing to step away from that and only have a few people that were saved with her. Only have a few family members that she was able to bring into her house that was not destroyed when the people marched around the walls of Jericho. James says, it's like this. It's like Abraham's faith when he had to sacrifice Isaac. It's like Rahab's faith when she put her life in jeopardy to help the Israelite people. It's like that, James is saying. There are things in life that just go together. Salt and pepper, they go together. Peanut butter and jelly, they go together. Nuts and bolts, they go together. Can you have one without the other? Probably. But are they as good? No. I brought a light with me today, and I brought some batteries. Last night we heard a loud boom in our house. And when something happens and it's dark, what's the first thing you go to do? You go to find a light or a flashlight or something, because you want to, and so that's what I did. I went and found a flashlight. I didn't find this one, but I went and found a flashlight, and I went around outside, and I was trying to look and see what had happened, and I still haven't figured it out. But anyways, what do you do? And so you go and find a light. Well, this light doesn't do you a whole lot of good without these. These don't do you a whole lot of good without this. See, if it gets dark, I don't go looking around for batteries, because there's no button. They don't do anything. They don't shine light. They're just batteries. And this light, without any batteries, doesn't do any good either. Faith and works, James is saying, is a lot like this light. When you put batteries in it, works. Faith and works go together. Separate, they don't do you a whole lot of good. But when you put them together, I just kind of put this in my head. You go out and shine his light. When you put these together, you're going out and you're having actions that are showing the world who Jesus is. You need to use the two together. Both faith and works are vital to our Christianity. Both faith and works are vital to our Christianity. We talked about love. Love is an action. Faith is transformed through love into our actions and works. Faith is transformed through love into our actions and works. It's about going out and doing things. James says, what good is it, brothers, if you see somebody who doesn't have clothing? You see somebody who doesn't have food and you're not doing anything. He says that faith is useless. That faith is dead. So I've asked myself this week, what am I doing with my faith? How am I using my faith? Anita said this morning in our class, she was saying how the pastor that they have down in Florida will oftentimes say that it's harder to preach through full books of the Bible, because sometimes you come on things that are hard for you to have to teach, or that you would never teach. I say that's a lot of the whole Bible, because the Bible calls us to action. The Bible calls us to do things. And when James says faith without works is dead, What am I doing with my faith? Do I have a dead faith, or does my faith need some CPR? Does my faith need some actions? Because without the actions, your faith is dead. Do we need to get up and do something? Are there food pantries in the area we could help out? Are there people that are needy in our community that we could be helping out? Are there friends or family members that could use your help? Maybe not financially. Are there people that could use an ear for them to talk to? Probably yes to all of those. But what am I doing? What am I doing with my faith? Faith is transformed through love into our actions. Would you pray with me? Father, teach us. Teach us how to build on our faith with actions. God, help us take our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes on you, and help us to see others that have needs. God, help us to be willing to do more than just notice. Help us to take actions with our faith. As James said in the beginning, help us to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. God, be preparing things beforehand for us as we go forth. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning we'll close asking the Lord to be glorified in what we do as both people